back to Chanukah, the first night of Chanukah, on the menorah, you put them in the candle or the oil on the most right side of the menorah, all the way on the right. On the second day, you add one to the left, and you always light the new one first. So in other words, you're lighting from left to right. One of the reasons why you light from left to right, because the Gemara says, anytime you turn in the Beis HaMikdash, Kol Peina Shata Peina Leitehei El Yamin. Anytime you go, turn, you should go to the right. So therefore, this is one of the reasons the Pos can bring down, that when you light the Menorah, you go from left to right, because then you're always going towards the right.
Why do you light the...
What?
Why do you put the other way then? Put it one way and light the other way.
You don't really have to put it this way.
Oh.
People do, but in Halacha doesn't say you have to put it this way. The main thing is the lighting is from left to right. Huh? That it doesn't say. No. Look in Halacha, it doesn't say. Because Lepel, the first, because you do number one before you do number two. You don't have to do it that way. First you do number one, and then you go to the second. You do one, two, three, four. You don't do things backwards. So first you organize that way. But even if you didn't, that's fine. I'll be then if you lit the other way, you're also yetzer the mitzvah. And there are poskim on the right, you take a good light right to left. Like the Tzemach Tzedek says that, but we don't poskim like that. Then you go right to left. We go left to right. Now, when a person lights the menorah, when you light the menorah, a lot of times when you light a candle, the wick doesn't catch on yet to the fire for a few seconds. You're really supposed to make sure that you're lighting it, that the whole wick is actually caught on with the fire. What happens if a person's in a very big rush, and it's like the eighth night of Hanukkah, and they can only light one candle, and then they have to run? So somebody else could finish lighting it for them. Because when they do the mitzvah, they did one already, they did the mitzvah.
But you have to sit there for half an hour.
First of all, you don't have to. It's a custom to do. We don't do it Friday night either. You light and leave. I'm saying, what happens if somebody's in a terrible rush? It's only a custom, we'll get to soon. Now, also we learned that you don't say Aneris Halalu until you finish lighting all the candles. Some people have a custom that after they lit the first candle, they say Aneris Halalu, or they start saying Aneris Halalu. Our custom is, you light all the candles, and then you say Haneris Halalu. Also, like we mentioned, just we were talking about, it's a minig, it's our minig, it's not only our minig, many people have a minig, that they sit by the candles for half an hour, and they even say the reason is, because we say, Ela L'Reisim Bilvad, that the reason why we light the candles is to see them, so you have to stay for a while to see them. So the minig is to stay half an hour by the candles to, like we said, to see what the story the candles are telling us. Yeah.
Yes, you can do that all week. You can't do it on Friday.
Friday night, we don't do it. Friday night, you light and run. You light and you run to shul.
Chabad doesn't do it, period?
Usually? Huh?
Some min harav Chabad did it, period? Or
what?
Said, why the
we do sit by the candles, except Friday night. Friday night, we don't.
Why?
Because you have to run to shul to daven, because you're lighting right before a licht benching. You don't have to sit. Then already you did the mitzvah. The mitzvah is done already. So by the time you come back from shul, hopefully the mitzvah is done. Now, the candles, if you're lighting them in the doorway, you're supposed to light them between 3 tefachim and 10 tefachim. That's l'chatchila, the best way of doing it. So that means you're talking about between 12 and 40 inches, or between 9 and 35 inches. That's the amount of time. Now, there's an interesting shaila they bring down, which is a whole machlekes in poskim. What happens if you have a big menorah? The menorah should be between 3 and 10 tefachim, or the flame should be between 3 and 10? What should be between 3 tefachim and 10 tefachim? The menorah or the flame? What happens if you have a big, tall menorah? So you have to put the menorah on the floor that it should be able to be between 3 and 10 tefachim? So the whole machlekes in poskim, our minig is that the flame should be between 3 and 10 tefachim, not the menorah. But there are many poskim that write, the main thing is the menorah, not the flame. It doesn't matter about the flame, as long as the menorah itself is between 3 tefachim and 10 tefachim. Now, another important din, and this happens very often, and people should be aware of this. You're not allowed to light the Chanukah candles one from the next. and you're definitely not allowed to light the Shamus from one of the candles. So what happens, let's say it's the fourth night, and it happens sometimes when you start lighting the candles, especially if it's oil, sometimes Shamus has a tendency to go out. So just subconsciously, unconsciously, you just take it and light it from one of the candles. You're not allowed to do that. Because you're not allowed to light one... If you did... You did it already, but it's also in the stomach. No. Because once you light one candle, you already did the mitzvah. I'm saying, what happens though if somebody lit three candles and then the shamus goes out? So you have to make sure not to light the shamus from one of the candles. You have to strike a match and light the shamus again. After the time, after the zman of a half an hour, after nightfall, you could light one candle from the next. What?
On Friday night. Usually you light the candles on Friday night and blow them out.
You mean the Shabbos candles, yeah.
Yeah, to make it easy for her to light.
Right.
Which happens. As soon as you touch it, it lights right up. Right. And you do the same for the Hanukkah candles.
You could do it, but the question is, if you're lighting it, the question, did I do the mitzvah already? And then blowing out. So by Hanukkah, the custom is not to do it.
Okay.
By Hanukkah, the custom is not to do it, unless, like we said, the earliest you can light candles is 10 to 4, approximately, here in L.A. So what happens if somebody did 2 o'clock in the afternoon? They prepared the menorah, they lit the candle, blew it out, then there's no problem. But after 10 to 4, it might be a problem. Yeah.
What if someone has 8 candles,
what are you supposed to do? You can let them burn out, you can blow them out, you can... technically, after the Zman, let's say the Zman is over at 6 o'clock, let's say. Technically, after 6 o'clock, if your candles are still burning, you're allowed to blow them out. Because after the Zman, there's no mitzvah, you're allowed to benefit...
The next day, are you allowed to keep them on just... Light the last one, you have to blow it out and do
that. If you want to light them again, you have to blow them out and relight them properly. Because you lit them yesterday, you have to light them today. But after this man, if somebody's actually leaving the house and they don't want to leave candles burning, after 5 to 6, we learned, you can blow out the candles. Now, it's a good idea when a person, especially, doesn't apply by candles, but when you're using oil, so the oil and the wicks basically do become holy. And therefore, after Hanukkah, the leftover oil and the leftover, the remaining wicks, you really cannot benefit from. You can't throw them into the garbage. You have to make a separate fire to burn the wicks and the oil. But if you make a condition, before you light the candles, and before you pour the oil in, that the leftover oil and the leftover, the remaining wicks, you're going to throw out, then it's no problem. But this is only about the oil that's in the menorah. The oil that's in the jar that you didn't use for sure is not holy. We're speaking now, you know, the oil doesn't always burn sometimes to the bottom. So if you make a condition before you light the candles that the leftover oil that remains in the menorah and the leftover wicks are not holy, then you could throw them out after Yom Tov. You don't have to, after Hanukkah, you don't have to make a separate fire.
Why are they holy
and not
the candles?
Huh?
Why
no, I'm saying just in practical, the candles burn down. If they don't burn down, you have the same problem. Correct. Yeah. It's just more practical to make the condition, yeah. That whatever oil is going to be remaining is not holding, you can throw it out. Otherwise, you know, you have to do after Hanukkah, you have to take all the oil and gather it together and take all the wicks and make a big fire. You know, it's not... it's much easier just to make a condition. Huh? If you made a condition, you can't do. Okay, there's basic kinesis. Now the menorah, according to Halacha, they have the new fancy menorahs that are higher and lower. Some candles are higher, some candles are lower. According to Halacha, those are no good. They all have to be on the same level, and they also shouldn't be circular. You're like in a semicircle. They preferably should be straight. There's one more shayla over here which is very relevant to if you use oil, and that is, do you need to use kosher oil? Like, does the olive oil need to be kosher? Or could it be even treifa oil? Now we learned that technically all oils are kosher for Hanukkah candles. So the question, must you buy dafka kosher oil, or can you have any oil? So there's a big machlekes in halacha about this. It's both by biblical mitzvahs, and it's a question by rabbinic mitzvahs. Meaning, one thing is for sure according to all opinions, say for Torah, tefillin and mezuzah have to be from kosher things. Meaning, the ink that you use in the Sefer Torah has to be kosher ink. The parchment that you write has to be from a kosher animal. Why? Because we say in davening, in Kaddish Liko Bechad, L'man tihi ha-Torah Hashem b'ficha, that the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth. So the Gemara learns out, min amutar b'ficha. So everybody holds that Sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzah, all the ingredients, so to speak, the parchment and the ink, have to be done from kosher products. Whether this applies to all biblical mitzvahs or not is a machlekes. There are many poskim that hold it only applies to biblical mitzvahs, not to rabbinic mitzvahs.
Kosher animal, but not necessarily.
It doesn't have to be shechted, but it has to be a kosher animal. But the question is, by rabbinic mitzvahs, does it also have to be kosher? Some poskim say it also has to be kosher. The way we paskin is, by rabbinic mitzvahs, it doesn't have to be kosher. And therefore, technically, if somebody wants to use olive oil that doesn't have a hechshed, let's say, or they want to use an oil that's not necessarily kosher, for Hanukkah candles, they're allowed to use it. Or if you want to use, I mean, today they're not very common, if you want to use candles that are treifa candles, you know, made from treifa fats, let's say, you would also be allowed to do it for Hanukkah. Why? Because the way we paskin is that by a rabbinic mitzvah, it doesn't have to be a kosher object. Obviously, we're not talking about eating it. We're talking about lighting it, it doesn't have to be a kosher product. Why? Our custom is to use oil, because olive oil, because that's what was in the base of Mikdash. And the reason why you have a beeswax shamis is because in halacha, second to olive oil in prominence, is beeswax. We want to make a differentiation between the actual candles and the shamas, and that's the halachic reason. There's also a practical reason. You know how hard it is to light, take an oil shamas and light the other candles. It's almost impossible. It's so impractical. But besides that, the halachic is we want to differentiate between the obligatory mitzvah, the candles of the mitzvah, and the shamas, which is not actually the mitzvah. But we use the second best, so we use beeswax.